here's a screenshot of some sand mines across the United States. And you can really see in the Permian Basin where those sand mines are focused. I'll point your attention to the northern white sand up in Wisconsin. And you can see some of the sand mines located in the Eagle Ford shale play. But here's something that's really interesting to me. This is a shot of where the sand mines in West Texas have started to become located. You can see the rigs, which are denoted by the blue triangles, in the Delaware Basin. You can see the rigs over in the Midland Basin. But you can see where these sand mines have been put right in between along what people refer to as the Central Basin Platform. And particularly, you can see some sand mines that have been placed along the interstate between Pecos and Odessa, most notably for easy transportation to either one of those basins, east or west. That is a beautiful image of Winkler White. If you've driven past the sand hills and near Monahans, you've seen the shots of that sand from the highway. So let's get into the details. The frac sand chain itself. The first step in the frac sand chain is obviously getting the real property right to acquire the sand. And that's either done through a sand lease, which is one of the documents we'll talk about here in a little while, or you can acquire the interest and fee. At the beginning of what I describe as the new gold rush in Texas, when people started realizing there's a valuable resource to be mined and put down hole here in state, lots of mines acquired their interests in fee. That is, they bought a 1,000-acre ranch that beforehand wasn't anything but goat pasture. In fact, it probably wasn't even good enough to be goat pasture if it was entirely made of windblown sand. But now that people realize the value of the commodity, they have started to move more towards the structure of a traditional mining lease, and in this case, a sand mining lease. The next step is obviously the mining, and to me, that is the most fun part of it all. Our friends out at Monarch Silica gave myself and my co-author, Mr. Hosey, a tour of their facility south of San Antonio not too long ago, and it is a state-of-the-art facility, and I won't give away their secrets, but if you ever have the chance to go see a facility in person, it's something that is a little bit nostalgic for me. As a little boy, you love playing with big trucks and big equipment in the sandbox. And, you know, a few decades later, it's not much different. I was able to be in a big, giant sandbox with a lot of fun toys in the mining operation. So if you ever get the chance to do it, it's a lot of fun. After the mining operation, which is the backhoes taking dirt out of the ground and putting them in big dump trucks, you have the processing of the sand itself. And that is a highly technical process. You'll hear people refer to washing and drying sand. That's kind of exactly what it sounds like. We'll talk about those processes in a little more detail in a second. You have storage, which can either be done on site in silos, which trucks actually pull up under and get filled with. Or if you are an operator or a drilling contractor buying massive amounts of sand, you can store it in some other facilities. And that actually is a shot of this big tent that a producer in Canada uses to cover sand that they store. Then ultimately you have to truck it to the website. I mean, the well site. And something to note in the paper, I have a typo, but in an average Wolfcamp lateral today, you can expect to use 13 million pounds of sand. That translates to roughly 6,500 tons of sand. And that takes over 300 trucks to move to a well site. So that's a massive amount of traffic moving sand to a well to then put down hole. So we'll talk about the processing process just for a second. You have a wet plant, and that is used to wash and remove silt and debris and clay. You don't want clay going down hole. Sand slurry is then put through these series of screens and separators. And when I say sand slurry, imagine when you were a kid and you were at the beach and you had wet sand going into a bucket. That's what sand slurry is. It's then placed in a stockpile. The water is drained and hopefully recycled. You then go to a dry plant. The sand is dried and screened. That's where they size out certain meshes. And then you go into storage and are placed into silos for pickup. Today, the legal documents that we're going to discuss, the sand mining lease, and that's where I'm going to focus most of our time. The majority of us will be put our feet in the sandbox, so to speak, in the context of a sand mining lease. Sand supply contracts are often handled by in-house counsel if the company's large enough. And then when we get to unique structures, which is the divestiture of interests in sand mines, those are really specific, and there are only a few lawyers in Texas who dip their toes into that part of the box, and we'll talk about that briefly. Let's talk about the sand mining lease. Think of the first part of a sand mining lease like you would an oil and gas lease in a wildcat type play. Deposits of sand are somewhat uniform once you've identified the deposit, but a lot of the time someone is coming to a piece of property wanting to identify with certainty whether there are mineable reserves of sand on the property. So they may come to you with a coring agreement. I prefer a coring agreement with an option to lease. That gives both parties some flexibility. A lot of the time you'll also see an inspection period built into the term of the lease. And so what do I mean by coring? Quite literally what it sounds like. It's where you take core samples of the property, and they are looking to analyze the quality of the sand and whether it's going to be economically feasible to mine it, how deep it is, what the overburden is, those sorts of things.